What's up, movie friends? Today, I'm going to be doing a Raiders review of Alex Garland's Civil War. First of all, congratulations to A24 for finally topping the box office. Civil War came out with $26 million. We always want to see that from indie film studios like A24. Now I'm going to give you my honest reaction to Civil War, a film that I was actually mixed about after leaving the theater. Now, I love Alex Garland. I think he is a phenomenal filmmaker. Ex Machina is one of the best sci-fi films of the century. He's a wonderful writer. And I really appreciate that he makes films that challenge audiences. And so something like Men, something like Annihilation, Ex Machina, and then with Civil War, he continues to push the envelope. He's trying to give audiences something we've never seen before. So I really appreciate that. And you always want to see that from filmmakers working on a large scale like this. That being said, when I left the theater for Civil War, I was pretty underwhelmed and actually quite surprised about what the film ended up actually being. I was anticipating, like I'm sure many of you, to watch a film about Civil War in America. And there is Civil War in America in this film, but not in the way that we were expecting. More than anything, Civil War is a film about war journalism and the ambiguity and moral gray area that war photographers and war journalists have in their work. And in my opinion, the film was at its strongest when it was showcasing that in the story. For example, there's a great montage of Kirsten Dunst's character Lee and moments from her past of photographing incidents of horror and terrible images happening right in front of her. I found that to be probably the most powerful part of the film. That was what I was not expecting. So this film really is about war journalism, and it's about war photography and what that does to these characters. Jesse, played by Kaylee Spaney, being the new war photographer, Lee being her idol. And when I walked into this film, I thought it was going to be a film about what would happen if Civil War broke out in America. And that's not really what we got. Yes, we got some sequences of action, and the characters actually go on kind of like an Odyssey, Apocalypse Now kind of journey. They're traveling to DC in order to photograph and interview the president. So I like that thorough line. I like that objective. And ultimately ends up being more of a road movie than anything else. And they do encounter moments of action and moments of violence, which all parallel different ideas. I think Alex Garland used like the Odyssey and Apocalypse Now as inspiration when he wrote this film. We see these incidents, whether it be the rival snipers shooting at each other. That's a moment where Alex Garland's trying to say, do we even know what side we're fighting on? And is it even worth fighting for? So we have these moments sprinkled in. We get the Jesse Plemons character, that incident where he's killing people that he doesn't deem to be the right kind of Americans. That's something that Alex Garland's trying to say to the audience. So these are moments where the film is adding some subtext to it, but ultimately the film was, for me, missing any context. So what I was hoping for was some kind of explanation about what happened, what triggered the Civil War. We get a few nuggets of information. Someone mentions that the president has carried out airstrikes on his own people. And there's a couple of other little nuggets of information. But ultimately, there are two major warring factions. It's the American military and then the Western forces. I wanted to know, who's leading the Western forces? Who's in charge? What is the organization? What exactly is the plan? And what is going on? I wanted to see more about what this president did. We know that he's in his third term, which is illegal for a president in America to do. And we know that he's committed acts of violence on his people. But I was honestly a little underwhelmed with how much screen time Nick Offerman had and how much time that president had. So I was hoping for more context. And that's what was really missing for me from this film. And ultimately, it didn't have the bite that I was expecting it to. Now, Alex Garland and the producers have come out saying that they didn't want to make a film that was divisive for Americans. I understand that you don't want to piss people off on one side or the other, and you want to make the film as profitable as possible. You want to get as many people to see the film as possible. But in my opinion, if you're going to make a movie about Civil War, you should really have some things to say in the context of the movie and in the subtext of the movie. And so for me, I thought it was a little bit of a kind of a cop-out by not really having much to say truly about what caused the Civil War and relating it to the world we're in now. That being said, it did have some great elements of action. The performances were fantastic, and it really came into its own in the third act when we got that final raid on the...
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
White House. Once that got going, I was full steam ahead. The action sequences were bombastic. They were exciting. They were visually interesting. And the whole team, the whole crew, especially the stunt performers, did a really phenomenal job portraying that huge raid. It was really exciting and very explosive. It sounded fantastic, and it was one of the highlights of the film for sure. However, in regards to the tactical aspects of the film, it was a little hard to believe that these members of the press would actually be involved in raids, actually being on the line with the military personnel, actually being part of this crew of special ops. We do get in the White House, one of the members of the special ops yells at the journalists to stay the hell away from them. However, throughout the course of the film, we saw these photojournalists literally interacting and moving through interiors and exteriors as if they were part of the squad of the soldiers of either side. So I thought it was just a little too on the nose. It didn't quite work. I spoke to a couple of military professionals and experts, and they said, no way, no how would war photographers ever be like in the line of a military group, a special forces group, entering an interior, raiding some kind of location. That would never happen in a million years. So moments like that kind of took me out of it when the photojournalists were actually involved with the military personnel. But again, the average American will probably see that and not think anything of it. So I think that's something they got away with. But someone with a little bit of knowledge and speaking to experts, they told me that was just a big no-no. But I understand that working for the film, but for me, it took me a little bit out of it. But we do want to get the audience involved with the action. So I think that was the intention. I'm sure Garland and the producers of those sequences understood, yeah, it's not going to happen, but we got to get them involved in what's happening for the audience to be there with them. With that being said, the action sequences were very exciting and extremely well done from a production standard. So I think Alex Garland knocked those parts out of the park. One other problem I had with the film was the reliance on a little bit too much plot armor and some loopholes that didn't quite add up. One of the biggest moments was Jesse Plemons' big scene, and he is an absolute scene stealer. Once Jesse Plemons showed up, the whole theater became silent, and his riveting performance really sealed the deal for that moment and helped keep the film from falling into more of a flatline kind of trajectory. However, I think that the way that the characters got out of that situation was a little bit unfair. So what happens is, if you've seen the film, Jesse Plemons' character, the soldier, he's holding everyone at gunpoint, and it clearly seems like he's about to execute everybody. And then out of nowhere, Sammy, who is hanging back, drives the SUV van right into Jesse Plemons' character, killing him, and then allowing the other members of the crew to get into the van, and they drove off and escaped from the other soldier who was firing at them. Pretty standard scene. That's not what was surprising. It was the fact that it was just a little too hard to believe that nobody noticed this big SUV driving towards them in an open field, because the way they shot it was he came out of nowhere. Plemons had no idea what was happening. He turned around and he got hit by this car. It's not like they're in a busy, loud street. They're not in structures around them. It was an open area, and that SUV is quite loud. He was revving that thing, so everybody, realistically, they would have been hearing that van approaching them from pretty far away. So that really took me out of it. And that scene was so strong, and in my opinion, probably the best scene of the film. And I was just a little disappointed that that's how they ended it, with this van coming out of nowhere and taking out the bad guy. Because up until that point, it was sheer brilliance what was going on in that sequence. And so I think that they gave themselves too easy of an out for getting in that very tense, high conflict situation. And another thing I didn't quite like was the characters are nearing DC, but we know that there's a full-scale war going on between these two sides, and a way of getting around that is literally at the start of the third act, we learn that the American military and government have given up and have surrendered and they're not fighting anymore, which makes it very easy for the characters to get into the White House. So I thought that was a little underwhelming to get it just from a bit of exposition. Oh, by the way, they surrendered, so we're taking over DC. It was just a little bit too perfect of timing for what was going on. So I would have liked to see maybe if they could have portrayed a really large-scale battle in DC. There was plenty of fighting in DC, but it was pretty small in scale. It was scattered throughout, and it didn't really seem like the American government or the American military had much personnel left. So that left me kind of questioning what was happening. Where has all of the military gone? I know half of it's with Western forces, but it seems like there wasn't really many people at all protecting the White House. And when they did get there, a couple of trucks, a handful of people outside of the entrance, the walled entrance into the White House. And then we got a dozen Secret Service members. So I was a little surprised by how few personnel were protecting the president, given that they had just surrendered. I understand that there are less forces, but still, I was a little surprised there were only a handful of people outside that gate. And then we have the diversion. So the Secret Service carry out this diversion. They drive the limo and a couple of SUVs out of the White House property, and they crash them outside. Everybody thinks the president's in the limo. They onslaught that limo. And then when it's revealed that inside it was just a decoy, the president's not inside, the rest of the squad, they go into the White House to find the president. And what they do is they find the president, and he's hiding cooped up in the Oval Office. So this is something I was really confused about, of why doing the diversion if you're not going to escape. So what was the point of the diversion of the limousine and the SUVs driving out there? I mean, they could have still just done the attempt at negotiating without even doing the diversion. And on top of that, I wasn't understanding why the president wasn't in some kind of safe house, some kind of protected, fortified area. The White House in D.C. is famous for incredibly secretive hidden tunnels, especially underneath the White House. There's tons of protocols for protecting the president in any kind of situation of danger. So I thought it was a little odd that the president was found inside of the Oval Office. I understand that cinematically, they wanted to get the image to end the film of soldiers on top of the dead president in the Oval Office. That was the whole point of the shot. They wanted to create that image. However, I was like, why is the president hanging out in the Oval Office? Why is he not in a safe room? Why is he even in the White House? So again, these things near the end didn't quite add up, and a couple reliances on plot armor. These plot holes did take me out of the film, and I think that if they were ironed out a little bit better and were filled in, the film ultimately would have been much stronger for it. That being said, it was a good film. It was very enjoyable. The action sequences, like I said, were exciting and very good highlights, and there were some really interesting things to say about war photography, about war journalism, and the gray area of those lives within those people. Ultimately, it was an enjoyable experience. My rating of Civil War is a B-. I gave it a 7 out of 10. As for our movie news episode, we are out of town traveling, so we will not be doing movie news this Sunday. However, we will be back up and running on our usual schedule next week, so stay tuned for the next episode of Movie News. We have some amazing episodes coming out this week, so stay tuned for those. Leave us a review on Apple, a rating on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, like this video, leave a comment. That would mean so much to us. And please help us spread the word and get movie lovers to discover our show, Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Take care, everyone.